Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone at 9:16. Our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. We're going to talk some baseball. The Hall of Famer is the man you talk with, Jason Stark from The Athletic and the MLB Network. Jason, what's up this morning?
How are you guys?
We're good. We were recovering from having 600,000 people in our town for the draft.
600,000 of your closest friends.
Exactly. It was awesome. It was a fantastic scene over 3 days.
It looked like it. Yeah. That was tremendous.
Yep. Jason, the Braves made one deal for bullpen help. How much more can they get done with, such a glaring weakness for a team that looks pretty solid in other places?
Yeah, I know people were chanting to bring in Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell can't plug all these holes, can he? Vizca Ano out for the year. AJ Minner's been a mess. Biddle and Venters, their two primary left-handers, both hurt. Jerry Blevin, I think, helps, and he's the kind of guy who is available now. But you're not plugging major holes in April or the first week of May. It just doesn't happen. The one thing that Craig Kimbrell would do, the team ERA in the ninth inning is over 7.
Jeez.
The team ERA in save situation is over 5. I don't think that would happen if he were in town, but I'm not seeing any sign that he or Dallas Keuchel are going to make a move until after the draft so that there's no draft pick compensation attached to them.
Cody Bellinger has had a ridiculous month for the Dodgers. You watch him, and I watched him the last couple of years, and say, man, he can't sustain this with that uppercut swing. How does he make that work for him?
Yeah, he has really covered his holes. Until this year, he couldn't handle middle up, middle in, up and in. There were ways to get him out, and when that's the case in this sport, everybody knows it. But look at the adjustments he's made with their new hitting coach. Look at his heat map sometime. His hot zone is pretty much everywhere in everything. Even against left-handers, I watched him get benched against left-handed pitching in October. And this year he's hitting .343 against left-handers with an 1,100 OPS. From every indication, what happened to him last year, being a part-time player of the biggest games of his life, that has motivated him to be this. And he's one of the great players in the game right now.
Jason, and talking about pitching, and one thing I've noticed the last couple of years, it seems like more and more guys are using the changeup effectively, and maybe it never did really go away, but how devastating of a pitch can that be for guys, especially at power stuff and can use it in different ways?
Yeah, in an age of velocity especially, I was looking at this again yesterday. There has never been a time in the history of baseball where pitchers threw harder than they throw today. And there are more guys stomping out of bullpens throwing 95, 96, 98, 102 than we have ever seen. And it's amazing how many of those pitchers mix in their big mix is fastball, changeup. We have seen a rise in slider usage too, but curveball usage has declined. The changeup is ascending, and there's a reason for it, because if you have a good one and hitters are geared up for velocity and that change looks like a fastball out of the pitcher's hand, that's not possible. Human beings just aren't geared to gear up for 98 and get 88 or 86 and make solid contact with that. And that's where a lot of swings and misses are coming from.
Yeah, it looks the same. Jason Stark is our guest from The Athletic and the MLB Network.
Yeah, Jason, I guess first for me is any active trade discussions, in the works that you think could actually happen here sooner than later?
Yeah, that doesn't really happen this time of year, Blaine. Mm-hmm. You very rarely see significant deals until after the draft.
Okay.
There are a few teams that would make some moves now because it's pretty obvious they're not going anywhere. But those teams aren't very good, and the players and marketing aren't very good. I just think this is the time. time of year to find out what you got, mm-hmm. and a month from now to trade for what you need.
All right. Now, naturally, Ben Zobrist went to Joe Madden and talked about, convince him to, sit him down, for David Bodie. So how often does this happen that the managers actually listen to him, let alone that a player goes in and asks to be benched because he's not playing like enough? I mean, man, it was kind of weird to me. I'm a big fan of Zobrist, by the way, too.
Yeah, me too. It's hard not to be. I can't remember ever hearing of that, where a guy walked in, his name was on the lineup card, and he went into the manager's office and said, "You really shouldn't be playing me. You should be playing this guy." I really don't think I've ever heard of that. Now, David Bodie is a beloved player on that team. He just had the game of his life. And Ben Zobrist is one of the all-time unselfish human beings ever to play.
Yep.
Didn't have an extra base hit all season. And so I really do think he was motivated by team and respect for his teammate, but it's still amazing to see that happen. And kind of the crazy epilogue to that story is they want to play in 15 innings, and who gets the big hit in the 15th is Ben Zobrist.
Jason, I know Tampa Bay is a great story in the American League East, but how about that scrappy ragtag bunch in the Bronx? that keeps winning despite the fact that their bullpen's been mediocre. But what about what the Yankees have been doing?
Yeah, those scrappy Yankees. That's how we always remember, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Those scrappy Yankees. They haven't beat anybody with a winning record.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Cashman just does depth. He does it as well as any general manager in the game, and you're seeing it. Luke Voit. When they traded for Luke Voit last year, nobody even noticed. Gio Urshela, I didn't even know he was in their organization. And now these guys are in the lineup every night and making a big impact.
Their box scores look like a spring training game.
I'm serious. I saw that lineup in Port Charlotte. And they're third in the league in runs scored. I should mention that, according to Baseball Reference, they have played the easiest schedule in the American League. But that is not their fault. You can only play who shows up to play you.
On the other side, how concerned are the Red Sox about Chris Sale? Because not only is his fastball down, but that slider, that nasty slider, has been really inconsistent.
And he's throwing so many of them. I don't know how you could not be concerned. And he mentioned fastball velocity. It's been weird. First three starts, fastball velocity a little over 90. Fourth start, fastball velocity 96. Last start, fastball velocity back down to 91 and change. And I don't know how you explain this exactly, other than the fact that their whole rotation was held back this spring because they were worked so hard last October. And how's that working out? Sales 0-5. Avaldi's on the DL. Rodriguez ERA over 6, Porcello ERA over 7. The rotation of the World Series champions, 4-14 with a 5.7 ERA. Teams have been trying to figure this out for years now. Now that the postseason goes on so long and starters are worked in the bullpen, worked multiple innings in the bullpen, come back and pitch, and start 2-3 days later, and nobody knows how to handle the after effects of that. And the Red Sox are just one more example of a really smart organization that tried to compensate in spring training, just hadn't worked.
Cardinals are scoring runs in bunches, but do they have a good enough rotation to stay atop the NL Central?
Absolutely. That was my NL World Series pick, to be honest with you. Love the lineup, and the collection of arms is incredible. And they, as you mentioned, they haven't really even pitched well out of the rotation yet, but Jack Flaherty is a super talented guy. He's got a chance to win a Cy Young someday. Dakota Hudson has an incredible arm. Miles Michaelis, I love that guy. Just a strike machine. Michael Wacha, probably never going to achieve that greatness that was expected of him, but excellent stuff. And then the arms out of that pen are absurd. Andrew Miller hasn't even pitched well yet. I really like that team, not just to win the Central, but to play deep in October.
I know it's radio. You wrote about it so eloquently in one of your last columns in The Athletic, but what about those two defensive plays in Oakland, the double play and the Freddie Galvis play?
They're my two favorite plays of the year, and they happened in the same series. The Freddie Galvis play, and there have been some bare-handed catches in baseball history. Everybody shows the Kevin Mitchell play over and over.
Yep.
And this has given us an excuse to haul out that Ozzie Smith play from when he was in San Diego and caught that line drive with his bare hand. But this play is so incredible because Freddie Galvis turns and runs out toward the outfield and never even turns around. And all of a sudden, there's a baseball dropping out of the sky. He catches it without a glove. I love that. And then the Ramon Laureano play. First of all, the ball went over the fence and turned into a double play. So you don't see that much. But the amazing part about that is after he robs his home run, he made the farthest throw that I have ever seen from the track in front of the 388 sign to 50 feet over the first baseman. And we estimated it at 371 feet. Now think about that. I think about the quarterback for Vanderbilt dropping to the back of the end zone and throwing a touchdown pass to a receiver on the back of the other end zone. And this one farther than that.
Goodness.
You know, and then beans can do that.
I always I like to after the play happens, like, well, you can't really score that a double play because blah blah blah. I was like, oh, come on, man, just give him a double play and go with it.
Yeah, it wasn't continuous, I guess, or whatever. Right.
Jason,
too bad.
Yeah, I know. Jason, great stuff, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, always enjoyed, guys. Thanks.
Okay, we'll see you from The Athletic and the MLB Network. Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer, every Tuesday morning, talking some baseball here on The Zone.